Blog Talk Radio.
Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show. We talk a lot about NBA, NCAA, NHL, Major League Baseball, spring football when it comes to USFL and XFL. Call into the show, call in to 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. It is now 8:03 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, rainy day here in San Diego, and our topic for today is going to be NFL Championship Sunday, NFL Championship Sunday. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the NFL Championship Sunday as the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs head to the Super Bowl. Obviously, Cleveland, but not limited to San Francisco 49ers, Cincinnati Bengals, and LeBron James. The host will provide scores and breaking news from the NBA, NCAA, NHL, and Major League Baseball. All right, let's get off into it, people. This weekend, as I said, and on Twitter and Facebook, on Facebook, I posted this episode up saying that Purdy, down goes Purdy, down goes Purdy as Philadelphia, as the Eagles soar in Philly. Down goes Purdy as the Eagles soar in Philly. And then on Twitter, I put Burrowhead is once again Arrowhead. And the Chiefs tamed the Bengal Cats in Arrowhead. So we know who going to the Super Bowl, Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. They got Philadelphia Eagles, I believe, -1.5 in the Super Bowl over the Kansas City Chiefs. This weekend was a horrendous weekend for officiating in the NBA and the NFL. Horrendous officiating this weekend. I know in the NFL Championship Sunday in the Cincinnati and the Cincinnati and the Chiefs game, Bengals and the Chiefs, the Bengals had made a defensive play, which they totally waved off and, you know, kind of like got in the minds of the Kansas City Chiefs, but they wound up saying the play didn't count, replay it, because the official was running down the field waving the play off. So they actually wound up, to me, gave a breath of fresh air mentally to the Kansas City Chiefs. Because at that time, I believe the Chiefs was kind of like on the ropes. Although I don't think that they converted the touchdown or anything. I think the Bengals still defensively stood up against it. But it's just when you take momentum away from a team that kind of got the mental edge on a top team like the Kansas City Chiefs led Patrick Mahomes, it's like you don't take that momentum away from a team. And then of course in NBA action, you know, LeBron James, you know, he didn't get a questionable foul call against the Boston Celtics, which that sparked a big uproar and took them into overtime. Some of this officiating in both of these leagues, it's like it's terrible. I don't know what to say. It's just, you know, some terrible officiating this weekend. But if you'd like to call in and debate the host about that, please call in area code 515-602-9687. Just raise your hand in queue, and I'll come to you, and then just state your first initial, last initial, and the state that you're calling from. First initial, last initial, state that you're calling from, and you can debate us on this topic or anything else that comes across the wire as a major sport. Like I said, you know, for those of you just listening in for the first time, on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, we talk about anything that comes across the monitor as a professional sport, pie-eating contest, horse racing, dog racing, camel racing, pie-eating contest, whatever the case may be, handball, racquetball, soccer, UFC, WWE, boxing, whatever comes across the monitor as a sport, we'll talk about it. If we don't know much about it, you can teach us about it. And if you don't know what we're talking about, we can kind of teach you about what we're talking about. Stokers and Beer is a wide-open platform for any sport that that you professional armchair quarterbacks love the most. I mean, it's a crazy weekend this weekend, just a lot of poor officiating, but you know, in the San Francisco game, Brock Purdy, he gets hurt, he goes down, you know, that made the NFC Championship kind of a dud game. You know, you just hate to see guys get hurt, but, you know, things happen. You hate to see guys get hurt, but things happen in this business. But, you know, when it's all said and done, it was a hell of a game this weekend, both of the games, although, again, the NFC Championship turned out to be a little bit of a dud because the 49ers didn't have a quarterback. They ran out of quarterbacks finally. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo broken foot. Trey Lance had already been hurt. That's why Jimmy Garoppolo was in. Who else we got? Then you bring in Purdy in relief of Garoppolo, and he goes down with an elbow strain. Bring in, who's that, Josh, I forgot the quarterback name, but he was formerly with the LA Wildcats of the XFL, one of the spring football leagues. He was with the LA Wildcats. They brought him in to relieve Brock Purdy. They did score on one drive, but it was a running play. But he did, you know, complete a couple passes. And then McCaffrey ran a touchdown in while he was in. But he struggled the rest of the way, and they had to bring an injured Brock Purdy back in who couldn't throw the ball. Only thing he could do was run it. And again, that turned the NFC Championship into kind of like a dud game. It is what it is. You know, you do what you can. You know, when you're injured, you do what you can. But congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles for withstanding. Congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm saying it right. Congratulations to the Eagles for basically, you know, punching their ticket to go to the Super Bowl by defeating the 49ers. Injury decimated 49ers squad. Also, congratulations again to the Kansas City Chiefs. They survived. I can't say they withstood and survived the onslaught of the Cincinnati Bengals. you know, they survived that game, and they punched their ticket to the Super Bowl. Mahomes led a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter to reach third career Super Bowl. Mahomes led the game-winning drive in the fourth quarter to reach third career Super Bowl. Did the AFC Championship confirm Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL? That's what they're asking across the monitor. Did AFC Championship confirm Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL? I would say so. The Chiefs beat the Bengals 23-20. Chiefs beat the Bengals 23-20. I would say that this AFC Championship game did confirm that Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL because this guy was playing on one leg. The guy playing on one leg, and he still was able to get it done against a hungry Cincinnati Bengals team that was trying to get back to the Super Bowl. They wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to the Super Bowl so bad. But Patrick Mahomes said no. Mahomes said no. He looked at Joe Burrow and he said, you know what? I know you guys want to go back. I know you want to go back. I know it's going to hurt like it hurt us last year when y'all put us out. I know it's going to hurt to have to go home and knowing that you had the capability to be in the Super Bowl, but you're not. You got to wait till next year and start all over again, start from scratch. You may not even have all the same players that you got right now due to free agency, but you got to go home and you got to eat this. I know how it feels to eat crow. I know how it feels to sit at home for 6 months and not know if all the guys are going to be coming back, if you can keep everybody or at least most of your players and then try to do this again. Patrick Mahomes understood the pain. He didn't want to feel that pain again this year. He had to tell Joe Burrow, no, you guys can't go this time. We're going. We want to go and see Jalen Hurts. We want to deal. We need to deal with Jalen Hurts, not you. Patrick Mahomes wants to deal with Jalen Hurts. He told Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals Cats, you can't go this time. You can't go this time. It's us. It's our turn. It's our time. We are supposed to be there. We were supposed to be there last year, and we're proving that by going this time. It's just one thing I love about sports is when the great ones say no. I love it. I love sports when the great one says no. And yesterday, the great Patrick Mahomes, who can turn a game around just with one play, one flick of the wrist. One flick of the wrist, he could put that ball in the end zone. One flick of the wrist, he could put that ball in the end zone. And it's like, excuse the noise in the background, people. For some reason, someone's calling me while I'm on air. Everybody knows I'm on air between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So I don't know why people are calling me this early in the morning, knowing I'm on the air doing my show. So I apologize for the noise in the background. You know, I don't know why people are calling me, but anyway, I'm just up trying to do my show, and I'm getting interrupted here, but it can't be that important. But anyway, back to what we're talking about. I just love it when the great ones say no. Patrick Mahomes, who can change the complexity of a game with the flick of a wrist, like he's throwing a baseball. He tosses that football around like he's throwing a baseball pitch. Or throwing the baseball from the mound to first, second, or third base. This man, they want to know, did he confirm he's the best quarterback in the NFL? Yes, he did. It's not Jalen Hurts. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's not Joe Burrow. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's not Brock Purdy. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's not Dak Prescott. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's not Justin Herbert. It's Patrick Mahomes. Simple as that. Patrick Mahomes II. That's who is the best quarterback in the NFL. Simple as that. Hands down, the man is second to none. You know, he didn't take him to the Super Bowl last year, but damn it, he's in the Super Bowl again this year. Excuse my language. I try not to do any cursing on the show, so fans, listeners, excuse me, I got a little excited there. But, I feel that he is the best quarterback. I had one guy that called into the show a while back. He's a big Kansas City Chiefs fan. I forgot his initials, but maybe he'll call in this morning. And we were actually talking. And the funny thing about it, we had predicted, because his wife is a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and he is a Kansas City Chiefs fan. And we were laughing about, what if they both make it to the Super Bowl? That's going to be a heck of a atmosphere in your household, because you guys are going to be rivals that day. And I wonder what's going is going to be like if your team wins and hers loses, or vice versa, her team wins and your team loses. And I was like, you know, maybe you don't gloat so much if the Chiefs win, because you may not get dinner. And so we just laughed and joked about that. But I mean, our prediction is true. I mean, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes facing Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs facing Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles just ran through Brock Purdy and the 49ers again. Brock Purdy was injured, couldn't throw the ball. The backup quarterback, former XFL LA Wildcat quarterback. And you guys, if you listen to the show, you know I do a lot of stuff with the XFL, USFL, spring football stuff, all the way down through the pro developmental leagues below them. So I was happy to see the young man get an opportunity, because if he'd have won one game, there would have been a feather in the cap for us guys that deal with spring football. And he could have won one game and punched his ticket to the Super Bowl, just like that. That's why, guys, you always got, you know, these professional athletes, you always got to be ready for a call, for the move up. And I tell a lot of my guys in spring football leagues, just stay ready, because you just never know. You could be on a practice, you could be in pro developmental spring football one minute, in the NFL the next minute, on the practice squad, then somebody go down, now you the third string quarterback, somebody else go down, now you the starter. It just happens like that. Like this young man for the 49ers, I mean, he wound up, he had been around the league for a little bit, dancing around the league and then doing spring football, but he wound up in the NFC championship game, and he could have actually took his team to the Super Bowl, but he didn't play well enough. Excuse me, people, for yawning on air. Late night dog had a late night. I mean, it was a lot of football yesterday, a lot of hot dog eating, that type of thing, a lot of beer. This is the Stogies and Beer radio show. So, yeah, definitely a lot of beer yesterday, a couple shots. But, you know, even though you have a late night, you got to get up and do the show. But I apologize for yawning on air. At the top of the hour, we're going to get off into some scores and everything. But I want to go to one score, segue over to the NBA. We had LeBron James in a loss, 41 points in a loss, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Jaylen Brown in a win with the Celtics, 37 points, 9 rebounds. The Lakers fell to the Boston Celtics, 125-121. A lot of controversy in that NBA game due to the fact that at the end of the game, before going in overtime, LeBron James was fouled by Jason Tatum. Everybody across the monitor, across all the experts in the media on the monitor are saying that LeBron James was fouled. It wasn't a horrendous foul, but he was fouled when he was trying to shoot, and they didn't call the foul. Jason Tatum fouled him while he was going up for a shot right at the end of the game, which forced him to go into overtime. And in overtime, Jaylen Brown, looks like Jaylen Brown just took over. He took over and said no. He said no to the great LeBron James. He said, no, we're winning this game. Primetime Saturday night, we need this. We need this primetime Saturday night game. We need this. These teams are getting ready to go off into the All-Star break, trade deadline on February the 9th. And things of that nature. So it's amazing how these referees this weekend, they just kind of like whiffed on a lot of calls. Well, I ain't gonna say a lot, but I know they whiffed on one in the AFC Championship game, and they whiffed on whiffed on one in the NFC Championship game because they allowed Smith. They allowed Smith for the Eagles to score a touchdown on a clearly bobbled ball when normally they would have went back to instant replay and looked at that. But yeah, Smith caught a pass from Jalen Hurts, and as he went to the ground, he didn't maintain possession. The ball was rolling, and it popped out, and he kind of trapped it where the referee couldn't see it. But normally they review those type of plays, and for whatever reason, the 49ers did not challenge it. They just let it go, and the Eagles wind up scoring. So I can say at least three questionable calls in sports this weekend between NFL and NBA. But back to NBA, LeBron James was visibly upset on the court. A lot of people saying across the monitor, oh, you know, they should, you know, we should get a, this should be a foul. A lot of people saying it should have been a technical foul on LeBron James because the way he was acting on the court, his demeanor on the court, he was throwing a little bit of a tantrum. They were saying he was being a bit of a brat on the court, you know, saying if it was anybody else, you know, they'd have got teched up for acting like that. All on his knees on the court with his head down, throwing the temper tantrum, pleading with the referee. They said, you know, a lot of the professional armchair quarterbacks across the platform, they were saying that, on the social media platforms, they were saying that LeBron James should have been teched up for that. He should have been teched up. Well, I'm like, you know, the man was visibly upset because he had played his heart out. I mean, the man played his heart out, and at the same time, you know, he still, you know, he wound up losing the game in overtime, and they've lost a couple games like that this year, if I'm correct. I mean, again, LeBron James, 41 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. You know, he contributed to 16 more points with 8 assists, you know, 41 points. Then Jaylen Brown, again, in overtime, said no. He said no LeBron James, but, you know, he put up 37 points, 9 rebounds. He said no to the great LeBron James again. In overtime, he said no. People, when the great ones say no, you know, it's like when the great ones say no, sometimes it's a hard pill to swallow. Now, LeBron James is considered arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. He's going to be the scoring leader and the highest scoring leader in NBA history. He's going to break Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record, which has stood for about 35 years, I think they said now. And, you know, whoever breaks LeBron's James record is probably going to be another 35 years. But all I'm saying is that LeBron James is considered one of the gods in the game, one of the little gods in the game, one of the gods in the game. And, you know, somebody else stepped up and told him no last night. I don't consider Jaylen Brown to be one of the greats, but he's dang sure a noteworthy player. He's a solid role player on his team. He's a part of a big three, which is with Smart, Tatum, Brown. The law firm, Smart, Tatum, and Brown. So, you know, that big three right there is a formidable big three. Jason Tatum, they're saying that he's definitely a candidate for MVP this year. So that Smart, Tatum, and Brown collectively, I don't even think Smart played last night, but definitely Tatum and Brown was on the court because I watched the game. Tatum and Brown was on the court on primetime game on Saturday night, and they told LeBron James, no, you're not getting this one. This is prime time. We're heading into the All-Star break. We need this. We're trying to make a statement. This is a statement win. This is a historical matchup, Lakers, Celtics. You know, the many times that they met in the finals where the Boston Celtics definitely owned that record. If I'm incorrect, please call into the show to correct me at 515-602-9687. Call into the show to correct me at 515-602-9687. But that was a crazy game. That was a good basketball game in the NBA. And then, you know, we had NFL Championship Sunday, you know, to cap it off on Sunday. So we're going to get off into some scores real quick for the NBA before we take our break at the halfway mark, at the 30-minute mark. We had the Nuggets and the 76ers. 76ers beat the Nuggets 126-119. 76ers beat the Nuggets 126-119. We had the Knicks fell to the Nets 122-115. I saw that game as well. I did see that game as well. Nets 122, Knicks 115. Got to get my man DC on here to give account of why the Knicks fell to the Nets. And Jalen Brunson, he put up 26 points. Jalen Brunson, 26 points. I think Julius Randle only had 16 in that one, I think. Kyrie Irving, 32 points, 6 rebounds. Kyrie Irving, 32 points and 6 rebounds. Kyrie, pretty good game. Then we had the Rockets 117 over the Pistons 114. Rockets 117 over the Pistons 117. What else we got here? At the Bulls over the Magic, 128-109. Bulls over the Magic, 128-109. We got the Clippers over the Hawks, 120-113. Good win for my L.A. Clippers, formerly the San Diego Clippers. If you watch the show, everybody knows that I love everything Louisiana and everything San Diego, whether it was currently San Diego or formerly San Diego, like my Chargers and my Clippers. But anyway, Clippers defeat the Hawks, 120-113. Kawhi Leonard, 32 points, 8 rebounds. Trae Young, 31 points, 10 assists. Again, Kawhi Leonard, 32 points, 8 rebounds. Trae Young, 31 points, 10 assists. Then we had the Kings fell to the Timberwolves, 117-110. Timberwolves defeat the Kings, 117-110. Anthony Edwards, 34 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 34-10-6. What else we got? Got the Wizards. Wow, Wizards defeat the Pelicans, 113-103. Wizards defeat the Pelicans, 113-103. And we have C.J. McCollum put up 24 points for the Pelicans. And then we had Gafford put up 21 points, 12 rebounds, 5 blocks for the Wizards. So the Wizards, big win over the Pelicans. They're 3 games below 500, and the Pelicans are currently 2 games above 500. So we'll see what happens. We need to get our big gun back on the court, which is Zion Williamson. We need to get Zion Williamson back on the court. Speaking of which, they were complaining, saying that they don't think that Zion Williamson should be voted as an all-star starter because he hadn't played enough games. Well, the games that he did play, he was dominant. So, yeah, I do feel that he is an all-star and should be an all-star starter, whether he plays or not. We had the Phoenix Suns, 128 over the San Antonio Spurs, 118. Suns, 128, Spurs, 118. Chris Paul, 31 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists. Again, Chris Paul, 31 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists. And, again, the Lakers fell to the Boston Celtics, 125-121. On a questionable no call, which led into overtime, and Jaylen Brown, a total of 37 points, 9 rebounds. LeBron James, again, 41 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists in a losing effort to the Boston Celtics, prime time Saturday night. Then we got the Mavericks and the Jazz. The Jazz defeat the Mavericks 108-100. Jazz over the Mavericks 108-100. Dinwiddie put up 35 points and 8 assists. Dinwiddie, 35 points, 8 assists. And Markkanen, 29 points. Markkanen, 29 points for the Utah Jazz. So he came up big for the Jazz in a win, 108 for the Jazz, 100 for the Mavericks. And so the Mavericks have failed to the Jazz. And Mavericks are currently 26-25, 1 game above 500. And the Jazz are at 500, 26-26. They're a 500 team. And last score in the NBA, we got the Toronto Raptors, 123 over the Portland Trail Blazers, 105. I don't know if Damian Lillard played in that game or not, but looked like top performer for Portland was Grant, 26 points, 8 rebounds. Grant had 26 points, 8 rebounds for the Portland Trail Blazers, which they lost to the Toronto Raptors, 123-105. So that's that's our scores for the NBA. And for the NFL, I'll go with my NFL scores real quick from this weekend. And we have the San Francisco 49ers lost to the Philadelphia Eagles 31-7. Eagles 31, 49-7. So the Philadelphia Eagles will be moving on to the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts passed for 121 yards. Ed McCaffrey rushed for 15 carries, 84 yards and a touchdown. And Smith for the Philadelphia Eagles, D. Smith for the Philadelphia Eagles, 2 receptions, 36 yards. So Jalen Hurts, he threw for 121 yards. I saw that game, but it was a bit of a dud because Brock Purdy being hurt really put a damper on that game. You know, they had to go all the way down to their, fourth-string quarterback, which is a former player for the XFL LA Wildcats. He had an opportunity to step up and show that he belongs in the NFL. But for whatever reason, he didn't play a good game yesterday. So he couldn't, and then had to put in injured Brock Purdy, had to put him back in the game. And he couldn't throw on that elbow. He couldn't throw. Then we got the Kansas City Chiefs 23, Bengals 20. Kansas City Chiefs will be moving on to the Super Bowl. They defeated the Bengals, Cincinnati Bengals 23-20. Kansas City Chiefs over the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20. Last second field goal, which puts them in the Super Bowl to face Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. Patrick Mahomes threw for 326 yards and two touchdowns. Threw for 326 yards and two touchdowns. Joe Burrow, in a losing effort, had four carries for 30 yards. And then Valdez-Scantling for the Chiefs, six receptions, 116 yards and a touchdown. Six receptions, 116 yards and a touchdown. So, again, the Kansas City Chiefs defeat the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20 in a hell of a game. Like I said, questionable call in both of these games, you know, with the Eagles win. Smith, he caught a pass. He caught a pass, and it was definitely rolling around, and they put them on like the five or 10-yard line, and then they went on, ran it in. The running back for the, I believe, number 26 for the Eagles went on and ran it in. Across the monitor, they're saying Eagles beat the 49ers 31-7, Eagles 16-1 with Jalen Hurts this season, including the playoffs. Surprised that Hurts led the Eagles to a Super Bowl this soon? No, I'm not surprised. They want to know across the monitor, are we surprised that Jalen Hurts led the Eagles to a Super Bowl this soon? No, I'm not surprised at all. I'm not surprised at all. He's a hell of a quarterback. You got to understand this man's pedigree came from Alabama. The man played at Alabama, then transferred out to Oklahoma. You know, when they tried to replace him with Tua Tagovailoa as a starting quarterback at the University of Alabama. Nick Saban went with Tua. And then when Nick Saban went with Tua, it prompted Jalen Hurts to switch schools and go to Oklahoma. He did well at Oklahoma, went on into the draft. Philadelphia picked him up in the draft. And I think he's been playing well since he's been in the NFL. I think he became a better passer this year. But at the same time, he always gave my team, the New Orleans Saints, problems. We couldn't beat him even as a rookie. I think every time we'd have played the Philadelphia Eagles, except for this year, they had our number. But this year we beat him without Jalen Hurts because he had the shoulder injury from when he got injured playing in Chicago against the Bears. And then when we got our opportunity to play against him this year, he sat out. They put in Gardner Minshew, so the Saints got a win this year, but we still haven't beat the Eagles with Jalen Hurts at the helm. With that being said, people, we're going to go off into a quick station break, and let me see who has been trying to contact the Late Night Dog while he's on the air, trying to contact me while I'm doing my radio show. Sorry about any noise in the background, cell phone ringing, people leaving messages, all this stuff in the background, so I'm going to have to mute my phone, put my phone on vibrate. So anybody that's out there listening, if you're trying to get in touch with me while I'm doing the show, just call in to the show at 515-602-9687, or you can feel free to comment in the chat box. But I'm gonna try to see if I can get my guy DC from Maryland on the line to add a little bit of color to the show and talk a little bit about some NFL Championship Sunday and try to figure out what happened with LeBron James, try to figure out what happened with the New York Knicks this weekend and Julius Randle scoring a low of like 16 points this weekend against the Brooklyn Nets without Kevin Durant. And I'm just trying to figure out what happened there. It was a good game, but they didn't come up victorious. Speaking of the New York Knicks. Anyway, let's go off into some music mix and then we'll be back. Welcome back to the Stoker the Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stoker the Beer Radio Show. Stoker the Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, soon to be Fridays also, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Most Mondays through Thursdays currently, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Time on deck is 8:40 a.m. It is 8:40 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Rainy day here in San Diego. We got a rainstorm coming through, and so it's gonna be a wet one today, people. So if you're out here in the San Diego area, please stay safe on the roads driving. Pump your brakes on these slick roads out here. But we're not gonna complain about our little bit of rain that's coming through. Number one, we need it because it's a drought in San Diego currently, still a drought. But it's kind of dangerous when it rains out here. For those of you that don't know, out here we have a lot of burn scars because all the wildfires that take place in San Diego yearly. And so the drought has caused a lot of wildfires along with the Santa Ana winds spreading those fires. And then when we get rain like this, the ground, the soil is so damaged, it can't hold the water. So it makes it a lot of runoffs, which lead to rock slides and mud slides and a lot of potholes in the streets. So it's a lot of things that get affected when it rains here in San Diego, California. But again, we're not going to complain because it's I believe it's a winter storm still going on the East Coast. So we're not going to complain too much. And then plus a lot of tornadoes last week down south. So we're not going to complain too much here in San Diego about the rain. But I want everybody out there on the roads to stay safe as well here in San Diego on these slick, all these slick roads after it rains or during the rain. So, yeah, just a safety advisory from the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live early in the morning on Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer, again, can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we talk about everything from pie-eating contests, horse racing, dog racing, or whatever the case may be. We do talk a lot of NFL on this show because this is a football talk show. They're saying across the monitors, the Chiefs beat the Bengals again 23-20 yesterday. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce respond to the Bengals' trash talk after the win. Did the Bengals talk too much trash ahead of the AFC Championship? I'm thinking that the Bengals, I don't think it necessarily was so much of them talking trash, but they were up 3-0 in this series. Now they're currently 3-1 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Is it a rivalry? I won't say it's a rivalry because I tend to lean toward the media experts when they say it's no rivalry if the other team hasn't won a championship. So Patrick Mahomes has already won a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow has not, although both teams have been to the Super Bowl. And it's just going to be these two teams are going to be a problem for each other for a while. You got two good, great quarterbacks. It's almost like Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Tom Brady. But I'll just go ahead and just say more so Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. We're throwing at each other's side for years. And then you could also throw Drew Brees in the mix. Playing against either one of those guys was also a problem. But this thing with Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and then we can also probably throw in Justin Herbert for the L.A. Chargers, formerly the San Diego Chargers. We could throw the Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert in that mix. But right now, we definitely know that Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes are going to be a problem. They're going to be standing in each other's way, making history moving forward. We're going to attempt to get my man DC on the line. I want to try to call him and ask him to come on the show. I've got a couple questions for him, trying to see if he'll pick up for me. Pick up for me and answer a couple questions for us this morning. We'll see what happens. Maybe he'll pick up. Maybe. Maybe he'll call us back. But anyway, I was trying to get my number one sports contributor, DC, on the line and get him to add a little bit of color to the conversation when it comes down to all things New York Knicks basketball and then NFL Championship Sunday. But maybe he'll call us back in a little bit around the top of the hour. But, going back to the topic for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESC, WBEST, and you're kicking it live in the morning with the Late Night Dog, Romero Ferran. And our topic for today is NFL Championship Sunday. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the NFL Championship Sunday as the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs head to the Super Bowl. Topics to include but not limited to the San Francisco 49ers, Cincinnati Bengals, and LeBron James. The host will provide scores and breaking news from the NBA, NCAA, NHL, and Major League Baseball. I want to get off into some men's basketball scores here real quick, just so we can update you guys on basketball action from this weekend, top 25 men's basketball action. And we had what we got here? Let's go to Saturday. Let's go to Sunday. Yeah, basketball Saturday and Sunday, but I'm going to just go with my Sunday scores first. We had number one Purdue in men's action over Michigan State, 77-61. Purdue, 77. Michigan State, 61. And we had Edie for Purdue, 38 points, 13 rebounds, three steals. 38 points, 13 rebounds, three steals as Purdue defeated Michigan State, 77-61. Providence over Villanova. Providence 70, Villanova 65. Providence defeat Villanova 70-65. And let's see what we had on Saturday. Try to get some Saturday scores in. Men's basketball, NCAA men's basketball. We had number two Alabama. They fell to unranked Oklahoma 93-69. Basketball is just crazy. I mean, one minute you got these guys. Somebody's number one minute, the next minute, somebody else is number one. Like right now, currently, Purdue is the number one team in the nation. I thought it was Alabama, but Alabama is number two now. So they fell to Oklahoma 93-69, so we don't know where they'll be ranked after the day. And we had Cincinnati and Houston. Number three, Houston over Cincinnati, 75-69. Number three, Houston, 75. Cincinnati, 69. And then we had number four, Tennessee, 82 over number 10, Texas, 71. Tennessee, 82. Texas, 71 in NCAA men's action. Then we had, who was that? Kansas State, number five, Kansas State defeated Florida 64-50. Kansas State defeats Florida 64-50. And we had Arizona, number six, Arizona defeats Washington 95-72. Number six, Arizona over Washington 95-72. Virginia 76, Boston College 57. Number seven, Virginia 76 over Boston College 57. And we had number nine, Kansas, 77 over Kentucky, 68. Number nine, Kansas, 77 over Kentucky, 68. And we had Shibwe for Kentucky, 18 points, 9 rebounds in a loss against Kansas. Number nine, Kansas, 77, and Kentucky, 68. Kentucky is 14-7 right now. Kansas is 17-4 right now. So, see, I saw some of that game. I didn't see all of it, but I did see some of it. Then we got number 11, TCU, fell to Mississippi State, 81-74. Number 11, TCU, fell to Mississippi State, 81-74. Then we got number 12, Iowa State. Number 12, Iowa State, fell to unranked Missouri, 78-61. Missouri, 78, Iowa State, 61. We got... What else we got? Here we got number 13, Xavier. Number 13, Xavier fell to Creighton, unranked Creighton, 84-67. Creighton beats number 13, Xavier, 84-67. And we got, who we got now? We got number 14, Gonzaga, 82 over Portland, 67. Gonzaga, number 14, Gonzaga defeats Portland, 82-67. Number 15, Auburn falls to unranked West Virginia, 80-77. Number 15, Auburn, defeated by unranked West Virginia, 80-77. Then we got number 16, Marquette, 89, DePaul, 69. Number 16, Marquette defeats DePaul, 89-69. Number 17, Baylor defeats Arkansas. Number 17, Baylor defeats Arkansas, 67-64. And we got two unranked teams, Hofstra and Charleston. Well, actually, Charleston is number 18. Number 18, Charleston falls to Hofstra, 85-81. Hofstra defeats number 18, Charleston, 85-81. What else we got here? Number 20, we got number 20, Miami falls to Pittsburgh, 71-68 in ACC play. Number 20, Miami falls to unranked Pittsburgh, 71-68. And we have number 21, Florida Atlantic, 70, Western Kentucky, 63. Number 21, Florida Atlantic defeats Western Kentucky, 70-63 in Sun Belt play. We got number 22, St. Mary's, 57, falls to BYU, 56. Number 22, St. Mary is defeated by BYU. Well, that's an incorrect score. Let me fix that, people. I made an error. Number 22, St. Mary's, 57 over BYU 56. Number 22, St. Mary's defeated BYU 57-66. That was a close one, or close win for St. Mary's. Then the last we got, last score we got for you is number 24, Clemson over Florida State. Number 24, Clemson over Florida State, 82-81. Clemson defeats Florida State, 82-81. And sometime at the halfway mark or so, at the second hour, we'll get our women's scores in and our NHL scores in for this weekend. We'll get them in and everything. So I just try to, like I said, try and do better getting all the scores out to you guys throughout the show. But we'll get our women's NCAA women's basketball scores in, and we'll go from there. But yeah, they're saying across the monitor. We got some look like some breaking news coming across the monitor. Well, we'll get back to that in a little bit. But they're also saying across the monitor, unnecessary roughness penalty puts the Chiefs in a position for a game-winning 45-yard field goal. Unnecessary roughness penalty puts the Chiefs in position for a game-winning 45-yard field goal. How much did the call impact the outcome of the game? How much did the call impact the outcome of the game? Like I said, people, this weekend it was just a lot of questionable calls. A lot of questionable calls this weekend. I'm trying to send out a text to see if my number one sports contributor can call in for a minute. Just want to see if I can get his take on NFL Championship Sunday and some NBA action. There's a lot of questionable calls in sports this Sunday, but like I say, over the monitor, they're saying that asking how much did the call impact the outcome of the game? How much did the call impact the outcome of the game? And so breaking news in NHL news, Bobby Hull, NHL legend Bobby Hull has passed away. We want to send a shout out, send out some prayers to his family. May his soul rest in peace, and we want to pray for the family in this time of bereavement. So keep a prayer wheel turning in your heart for Bobby Hull's family, NHL legend. Breaking news, he passed away today, if I'm correct. I'm kind of far away from my monitor, but when I get to my NHL scores, and I'll try to get some updates on that story. But keep a prayer wheel turning in your heart for the Hull family. NHL legend Bobby Hull passes away. And I'll get some more details on that shortly, but that's breaking news coming across my monitor. Again, going back to what's going on across the monitor, we had, they're trying to figure out how much did the call impact the outcome of the game with the Kansas City Chiefs, the unnecessary roughness penalty. And I remember that play. But there was a play where the guy kind of, I guess he pushed Patrick Mahomes or somebody. I forgot who had the ball. I think one of the wide receivers caught the ball, was running toward the goal, was running out of bounds. And the lineman, in full stride, the defensive lineman pushed the guy in the back or whatever as he was going out of bounds, and they called an unnecessary roughness penalty. When they went back to the monitor, the guy had clearly took two steps out of bounds. But you're talking about a big 200-something, close to 300-pound defensive lineman chasing this guy down in the heat of battle in the last seconds of the game. I think they really could have let that one go, because it looked like the defensive lineman took the brunt. He took the brunt of that anyway. He took the brunt of that whole situation. So I'm just trying to figure out why did they even call that penalty. And I think it, you know, played into the outcome of the game? I'll put it like this here. That was just a tight game. That was a tight game. They're trying to say that call, you know, messed everything up for the Cincinnati Bengals. They're trying to say that one call was questionable and messed everything up for the Cincinnati Bengals. But I think that it should have just been a non-call. In the heat of battle, you know, two teams fighting to go to the Super Bowl, you guys are throwing penalties. If you didn't hit the quarterback unnecessarily, if you didn't rough the quarterback, I'm not caring about the running back. I'm not caring about the wide receiver getting pushed out of bounds. He got tackled a little bit out of bounds. This is football, people. You gotta let these teams play. And so, did it affect the game? In my opinion, thinking back on it, yeah, because that penalty put the Chiefs in field goal range. Would they had a guy in field goal range without the penalty? I'm quite sure they was, because Patrick Mahomes was unstoppable even on one foot. No matter what the Bengals tried to do, they couldn't. You know, they had their moments against Mahomes defensively, but for the most part, Mahomes in that offense hitting Patrick Kelce, hitting Pacheco, all these different weapons that Patrick Mahomes has, they were still virtually unstoppable. It was just a shootout game. Kansas City would score, Cincinnati would come right back and figure out a way to score right back and stay in the game. It was just a tough game. I think they were tied up 20-20 at one point, and then which all this you know, this penalty that they called on the defensive lineman that pushed the receiver running back out of bounds, I think there should have been a good – they should have just been a non-call. It should have just been a non-call. And they should just let them continue to play it out, because this isn't like basketball where you're playing in a series. This is the NFL. You only get that one crack, that one shot, that one game. You don't get to come back and say we playing the best 3 out of 5 or the best 4 out of 7. You don't get that in football. It's one game, and this game was the last game to the last two teams to decide who's going to play Jalen Hurts in the Super Bowl, who's going to get to go up against the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. And both of those teams deserve to go. But I don't think that this game should have ended on a penalty that's putting the Chiefs up right, you know, closer to the to field goal range, so they can go ahead and kick it, a walk-off field goal. And that's what happened. They was able to kick pretty much a walk-off field goal, because I don't think they left that much, maybe 3 seconds on the clock, something like that. It wasn't enough time for Joe Burrow and them to do anything. So I think they went on, let it run out, and called it a day. But, yeah, I just think that there should have been a non-call. And that could have been the argument, too, with LeBron James and the Lakers the other night. They could have the referees probably were looking at it like I'm looking at it. Hey, this is a late night primetime game, historical rivalry, and the Celtics and the Lakers. LeBron James, arguably the best player in basketball on the planet, arguably the best player ever. He's right there in the conversation with Michael Jordan, and he's about to break Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's scoring record this year. He got a whole another half of the season to do it, so I believe it's going to happen this year unless he gets hurt. But that foul by Jason Tatum on LeBron James, it was, a lot of people was like, it was a questionable non-call, but the reason why the referee probably didn't call it was because they were just like, hey, man, you know, this is a big time primetime game. Let the guys play. Let them play it out. Let them decide this out in overtime. We don't need to get into this. We don't need to get into this ticky-tack foul stuff, little slap on the arm. How bad did that affect LeBron James' shot? You know, so it's like that's probably why they didn't call it, you know. Back to the NFL, reports Kellen Moore to join the Chargers as offensive coordinator. Like this move for the Chargers. Report Kellen Moore to join the Chargers as offensive coordinator. So Kellen Moore, former offensive coordinator for Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, is going to be joining us here in Los Angeles with my Chargers. He's going to be the new OC. So now I'm thinking that's where Sean Payton is going to wind up going to, because he has a big-time quarterback, brand-new stadium in L.A., Hollywood. He has a Dallas Cowboy alum, in which he's a Dallas Cowboy alum, so he's going to Kellen Moore joining the Chargers lets me know that Sean Payton is probably coming to Los Angeles. Sean Payton will probably want to work with this offensive coordinator from Dallas who had Dak Prescott, done some good stuff with Dak Prescott this year. And he can come in and do some good stuff with Justin Herbert. That's going to be big time for us getting Sean Payton. And I think Sean Payton is the right coach to turn Justin Herbert's career around and turn that franchise around. They spent money on this team. They spent some smart money on this team. They got a new stadium. I think it's a good fit for Sean Payton if he comes on to the LA Chargers. And I think that announcement may be coming sooner than later. I'm just looking at the dynamics of the way this is going, because all of a sudden this morning they're saying that Kellen Moore and the Dallas Cowboys mutually agree to part ways. They mutually agree to part ways. So that let me know that Kellen Moore has already been talking to the Chargers since they got eliminated. A week ago, they got eliminated out of the playoffs against the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers put the Cowboys out. So since then, obviously, Kellen Moore has been talking to the San Diego Chargers. Obviously, Kellen Moore has already been talking to the LA Chargers. Excuse me, they have been in San Diego for so many years. So sometimes I always say San Diego, but the LA Chargers and Kellen Moore, since the Dallas Cowboys have been out of the Super Bowl I think all last week they had been in conversations for him to come down to L.A. and take over the play calling duties. And so, I think that I'm really seeing Sean Payton, who is currently hanging out in Los Angeles already. I'm thinking that Sean Payton is going to be right where he wants to be, head coach of the L.A. Chargers. He got a great quarterback in Justin Herbert. Got a good offensive coordinator from the Dallas Cowboys, Kellen Moore. And all he got to do is come in there and just manage things and turn their team around. So I'm excited. I'm thinking that announcement, Sean Payton joining the Los Angeles Chargers, I think that announcement is going to be coming more sooner than later. They're saying across the monitor again, Chiefs defeat the Bengals 23-20. Mahomes throws for 326 yards, two touchdowns, and sends Chiefs to the Super Bowl. And is Patrick Mahomes the greatest quarterback talent ever? Greatest quarterback talent ever. I don't want to say that because we have a guy out there named Thomas Edward Patrick Brady, also known as TB12, Tom Brady. That's probably going to be always considered the greatest quarterback ever. I think the man went to the Super Bowl 9 times and probably won 7 of them. So I don't think nobody's coming close to touching Tom Brady. And we're talking about a Tom Brady. We still don't even know if he's coming back next year or not. So he may come back next year with a clear mind, not having to worry about a divorce, not having to worry about alimony, not having to worry about child support, not having to worry about all these different things. You know, I think they said he lost about 15 pounds going through all this personal life stuff. He lost about 15 pounds before he got back to camp. And so, you know, he was just going through a lot this season, trying to navigate his personal life along with football. So we'll see, but is Patrick Mahomes the greatest quarterback ever? No. It's too soon to say that. I hate when these media experts and these media writers, they start asking these stupid questions across the monitor. No, I mean, he was in a hell of a fight yesterday. Mahomes throws for 326 yards, two touchdowns to send the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. He was in a dogfight yesterday with the Cincinnati Bengals. Justin Burrow was going blow for blow with Patrick Mahomes. Like I said, he was already up 3-0 on Mahomes. So that's what I'm saying. Why ask crazy questions like that? Is he the greatest quarterback ever? He's a dang good young quarterback. But he was in a firefight yesterday against a guy. And I think they're only two draft classes apart. I think Burrow came out the year after Mahomes came out, I think. I think they're no more than one or two draft classes away from each other, if I'm remembering correct. So I'm like, you know, it's too soon to be asking that question. That's a stupid question to be coming across the monitor. Is Patrick Mahomes the greatest quarterback talent ever? No, you got Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the standard. When somebody is the standard and they're still actively playing, you can't even put Patrick Mahomes in that conversation. I mean, even in basketball, you know, when they say, is LeBron James the greatest basketball player ever? And then you always got to compare him to Michael Jordan because, I mean, Michael Jordan is a basketball brand standard. Michael Jordan, the Nike contract, the lifetime Nike contract, if I'm correct. I mean, you know, you got to start comparing these young talents that's just taken off to the greatest of all time. I think it's stupid. Now, let's say 10 years ago. Let's go back 10 years ago in 2013. 10 years ago. 2013, I think LeBron James was still at that time with the Miami Heat. I think he had been with the Miami Heat maybe, I think he went over there like, what, 2010, I think? 2010, 2011, joined the Miami Heat. But 2013, if I'm correct, he was still with the Miami Heat, LeBron James, I'm speaking of. And they were already talking about, is he the greatest? Is he better than Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan had retired, played, and retired again. Man retired and went to go play baseball, came back, won the championship again, retired again, and came back to play for the Washington Wizards. All I'm saying is that you guys got to quit doing this. The media experts got to quit asking these crazy questions. These up and coming athletes already trying to compare them to the greatest basketball player ever. In a minute, they'll be trying to say it's Ja Morant. The best basketball player. I give it about 3 years. The way Ja Morant is playing, they'll be trying to say, is Ja Morant the next LeBron James? Is Ja Morant going to surpass LeBron James? Is Ja Morant going to be considered the best of all time, even over LeBron James and Michael Jordan? I mean, come on, people. Let these young men have, let these young athletes have the opportunity to earn their way into that kind of conversation. Let these young athletes have, you know, earn their way into a conversation like that. I just think it's just too premature to be, you know, asking, is Patrick Mahomes the greatest quarterback ever? Is he the greatest QB talent ever? No. He ain't won seven titles. He's only won one championship. He's still six down to Tom Brady. And if I'm correct, didn't Tom Brady beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl? No, he, that was, they was in both in the they were both in the AFC. But I think the Patriots, did the Patriots put them out the playoffs? I can't remember how that story play out, but if you wanna correct me, call into the show at 515-602-9687, because I'm trying to figure out, has Tom Brady ever put out Patrick Mahomes? Had he put Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs out of the playoff picture when Brady was with the Patriots? Or did that happen when he got to the Bucks? I'm trying to figure, because if I'm remembering right, Tom Brady, I think what happened was Tom Brady was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The year Tom Brady won his last championship was with the Bucks, and I think they played Patrick Mahomes them in the Super Bowl. That had to have been COVID year, if I'm correct. I believe that was the COVID year when they didn't have any fans. They had limited fans out there for the Super Bowl, if I'm correct. And Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady went at it, and Tom Brady won that championship. So if I'm remembering correct, Tom Brady has already took a Super Bowl away from the Chiefs. The last time they went, I believe it was the Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was the year that the first year Tom Brady, I believe, was in the NFC South in our division with the Saints. The first year that he was in the NFC South, he took the team took the Bucs to the Super Bowl, and they beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Because he was in the NFC then against AFC, the Chiefs and the Bucs. They squared off. So if I'm remembering right, Tom Brady has already defeated Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl. So how do you ask the stupid question, oh, is Mahomes the greatest quarterback talent ever? That's a dumb question to ask, people. Just a very dumb question to me to ask. We're going to take a quick music break, station break and everything like that, so the late night dog can get him some more coffee and wet his throat real quick. And we'll be back in about 7 to 8 minutes or so, somewhere around that time. We're going to take a quick, pretty much a 10-minute break and get off into some music, but we'll be back. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Our topic for today is NFL Championship Sunday. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks regarding the NFL Championship Sunday as the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs head to the Super Bowl. Topics include, but not limited to, the San Francisco 49ers, Cincinnati Bengals, and LeBron James. We talked about all that. The host will provide scores and breaking news from NBA, NCAA, men's and women's scores. We did that, but we still got to do the women's scores and NHL scores. And so we'll get off into that. I don't have any Major League Baseball breaking news right now, but breaking news in the National Hockey League. I'll try to dig up some details when I do my hockey scores. Legendary, I believe, left wing Bobby Hull. Passed away this morning. I think he was in his 80s, at the age of 84, if I'm correct. About legendary Hall of Fame, left wing in the National Hockey League, Bobby Hull, dies at age of 84. So let's keep the whole family in our prayers, and may his soul rest in peace. So anyway, we're going to get off into some music real quick and take a quick station break, and we'll be back.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk a lot about NFL because it's still a football talk show, but we cover NBA, NCAA, men's and women's sports, NHL, Major League Baseball, United States Football League, and XFL Spring Football. Which we'll get off into that a little bit before we get out off of the air, giving opportunities to street free agents to that want to continue their professional football career. We like to give them tips and advice, pointers on how they can make that happen through this radio platform and with my company, Best Sports Management, Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service in San Diego, California. So we'll talk a little bit about that, how you can work with me if you like. And I want to thank all my listeners out there for currently getting us up to 625 streams and downloads combined. I want to thank you for helping us get to that mark. And so it's been a good ride for the last right about 6 months. We started our anniversary on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show on July the 5th. So July the 5th is our anniversary, and we're trying to try to make 1,000 streams and downloads combined before July the 5th. If we can get it by July 4th, that would be great. If we get it on July 5th, that'll also be acceptable, but we want to get it before our anniversary date. So on our anniversary date, we can just celebrate 1,000 streams and downloads. And I think we're probably on track to do it. I think we'll be pretty close, if not right there, on our anniversary date. But I want to thank everybody thus far for tuning in to the show and listening. The first time I've done a show on Blog Talk, I don't think that I had this many listens. I think it was when I was doing my music talk show, educating up and coming underground artists on the music business and on the music game. I don't think I had this much participation, streams and downloads on my radio show. And I was basically just trying to basically advocate for underground hip hop artists, trying to teach them about the game, the rules of the game, so they could not only be great artists, but also great businessmen and understand how to navigate their career. And I still do stuff like that from time to time. I've got my music stuff on simmer. My thing right now, I'm trying to combine my music opportunities with my sports opportunity, meaning I'm trying to get artists that are willing to be businessmen and invest in doing halftime shows at sporting events. Meaning like trying to get with some basketball teams and everything like that, some basketball leagues like the TBA or the basketball league. That's a good pro league to where I'm trying to see if artists will be willing to buy into their sponsorship packages in return for opportunities to come out there and perform in front of the audience, the crowd. But, most of these hip-hop artists, they're like this, well, I don't want to have to pay anything to go and perform. I want people to pay me to come out and perform. Well, if you're not willing to self-invest in yourself, then, my services aren't for you when it comes down to me doing sports and entertainment. My services are not for people that feel like someone owes them something, feels like someone needs to pay them to come out and perform when your music right now is not profitable. Your music right now is unknown music. You don't have a fan base. In order to create a fan base, sometimes you have to pay to use someone else's platform. So that's the way that goes. Just like on this radio show, if you're an artist, I tell you, if you got some brand, some hip-hop music or whatever, well, I'm going from a hip-hop format to a jazz format as soon as possible. But current, before I decided to do that going into this new year, I was allowing artists to come on and talk about their projects, put their music in rotation for 30 days. As long as it was clean and radio edited, I was going to put you in rotation for 30 days, do your interview. And then all these episodes are taped, are recorded through Blog Talk. So, you'd always have your episode to where you can go back and say, hey, I was on the Stokers and Beer Radio. So everybody listen to this episode and learn more about me and what I'm doing. So this is a platform. So it's $100 to come on there, to come on my show and get interviewed, music in rotation for 30 days. And I think that was a great deal. And you get a free recorded episode of the show. But I only got one artist to come on. And she was a basketball player formerly and switched over to hip-hop music. Shout out to Janissa out of Spartanburg, Carolina. She's out of South Carolina, Laurendale or something like that. I can't remember the city that she's from, but anyway, she's from South Carolina. She used to play at basketball at the University of Pembroke, a D2 school, and she wound up changing over into hip hop music. So she had an interesting interview on the show. One of my previous episodes, you can go back through the archives and take a listen to her and her music on the show and hear her story. But I was charging artists, $100 to come on here and get that interview. At the same time, if you was a football street free agent, and you wanted some publicity, it's $100 to come on to the show. Currently, still $100 to come on to the show and tell your story, and then you'll have this episode to send out to different coaches and everything, so they can not only read your resume, they can hear you talking about your story as well on a professionally recorded platform like the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. But if you're not willing to be up in the self-investment, people, if you're not willing to self-invest in yourself, no matter whether you're an artist, whether you're an entertainer, whether you're an athlete, whatever, whether you sell hot dogs, whether you sell chips and soda, whatever the case may be, if you're not willing to put money behind your product, why would you want people to spend money on you? That's always been my thing. Why do you want people to spend money on something that you're not willing to invest in yourself? Why do you think that you're going to get a bag of money from somebody else? Don't even trust your own product. You won't spend money on your marketing. You won't spend money on your training. You won't spend money on travel. You won't spend money on paying your management. You won't spend money on anything. It's just, hey man, I'm a good rapper, or I'm a good running back, or I'm a good basketball player. Come on, people. You got to pay money sometime to get to the opportunity. You got to travel. You have to have a budget for travel, a budget for your meals, a budget for your hotel stay, a budget for your marketing, a budget for your advertising, all this different stuff. A budget to get on these platforms, great platforms like my show, the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. You got to have a budget to come over here and use my platform. You guys say that you can just use people's platform for free. I myself have a budget to run this radio show. This show is not free. I have to pay up. I have a budget every month where I have to pay for this radio show. And it's not easy sometimes because it cuts into me getting my Stogies and Beer. Me running this radio show, Stogies and Beer, the budget to run this show cuts into my personal life when I want to go and get a Stogie and a beer. But guess what? If I don't pay Blog Talk to use their platform to create my platform, then guess what? Blog Talk is going to say, we canceling your show, and next. We're going to cancel your show, and then they're going to say, next. Who else want to come on here? We got airtime. I like doing this talk show. I like doing what I do. I like getting up in the morning and doing this and using my voice to bring light to the world. At the end of each one of my shows, I'm always encouraging everybody to be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. I try to remind everybody there's only one race. That's the human race. Stuff like that. I use my voice, my platform, for the spread love around the world. And at the same time, talk a little crap about sports. So anyway, let's get back to it. Kellen Moore, across the monitor, saying Kellen Moore expected to be the next Chargers offensive coordinator after parting ways with the Cowboys. Well, like I said earlier, before I got off the air, I said that, hey, I feel like I see a Sean Payton move coming to the Los Angeles Chargers. I'll take it because I love everything San Diego, currently and formerly San Diego. So Sean Payton who was the coach for my beloved Saints for so many years. Him and Drew Brees, you know, got us to the Super Bowl. I'm just looking at it like being the fact that the Sean Payton has a story with the Cowboys, Kellen Moore story with the Cowboys, two people that was on the Cowboys staff recently and in the past, hooking up in LA, where you got Justin Herbert, you got Bosa on defense. So you got a decent defense, a hell of an offense. And I think that Sean Payton and Kellen Moore can turn it around. Kellen Moore done some great stuff with Dak Prescott this year. I don't think it was so much Kellen Moore. I think it was more so Dak Prescott, how he was seeing the field. And at the same time, the team, the offense itself, I don't think that it had nothing to do with really Kellen Moore can't play call. I don't think it was that. I mean, the guy, they've been to the playoffs 2 years in a row, I believe. So, I mean, they've been able to navigate without Dak Prescott, even with Cooper Rush. So if offensive coordinator is winning with Dak Prescott or Cooper Rush, I don't think the problem in Dallas was the OC. They're also saying across the monitor that the Broncos reportedly met with Jim Harbaugh again about head coaching job. I'm thinking that Jim Harbaugh is probably going to get pulled out of Michigan. I know that he said, I believe last week, no, I'm here. But, you know, I think Jim is one of them guys, from what I see, he's a guy that he'll stay somewhere for about 4 years, 2 to 4 years, and then it's on to the next challenge. And to be honest with you, I like guys like that. Because just like in corporate America, I have a thing to where it's like, why are you going to be on a dead-end job or a job that, you know, paying you marginally? Why would you spend 20 years, 10, 20 years on a job? And then on top of that, you know, I'm a little longer in the tooth than probably most of my listeners are, you know. So what I'm saying is that for somebody that's past their 50s, you need to be, you know, it's like you don't want to get stuck doing one thing, to me, that late in life. Life, when you get 50 and above, you're trying to, what's next? What's the next exciting thing for me to do with all my experience? What's the next exciting thing for me to do? And I think that Jim Harbaugh is like, hey, I'm going to keep on talking to these pro teams because I don't know if I'm really wanting to stay at Michigan for another 3 or 4 years. Then I got to get out here and recruiting and talking to these kids and bringing in a whole nother class and the pressure of beating Ohio State every year, the pressure of getting into the playoffs. And I can't get the players that I want. Now with all this NIL deals and all this stuff, is like these NIL deals is making the college football landscape like the pro landscape. That's why I kind of wish that they would just take college sports out of college and let college be about kids that want to go to school and then just have what you call professional, minor league football systems, to where like college kids, current college athletes can just play pro and get paid. And then, you know, they move up a level, like figure out some kind of way to make some type of minor league or allow these kids to go and play in like leagues like the XFL and the USFL and in the spring, and then see if you can move them up to the pros as they keep getting filmed. I don't like college sports. And now they've turned college, because at first college sports, they had these rules like for somebody like myself, oh, you can't talk to the athlete. Well, why can't I talk to the athlete? I talk to the athletes through their parents. If the parents want to use my services for management or whatever I'm doing, endorsement deals, whatever, if the parents want to talk to me about, you know, dealing with their kid when it comes down to endorsement deals or whatever while they're in college, if it comes down to me sending out their film to different pro teams or whatever the case may be, if they want to talk to me, then that's between me and the parents. The NCAA made all these stupid rules to where, oh, well, if you're not a part, if you haven't paid into the NCAA, like for a licensing, you have to be an affiliate member with the NCAA in order for you to, like, invite the student athletes that's under the NCAA brand to any meet and greets with different proteins or whatever the case may be. You had to be invested into their system and licensed to talk to the kids that are under the NCAA rules. I didn't like that because me as a businessman, I feel like I can talk to whatever individual I want to talk to. I don't have to be a part of nobody's union or nobody's group to do it. Like with the NAIA kids, they don't have those stupid rules. If you can do something to help those kids, they don't care about that stuff. They don't get involved in that stuff. If you want to talk to somebody's parents about a marketing deal or endorsement deal or management when they graduate, whether it's during season or not, they don't care. But the NCAA, they got all these rules. And me myself, I'm kind of like glad that those kids unionize and start saying, hey, we want to be paid and we want to be able to make money and we want to be able to make NIL deals where millionaires can pay us X amount of dollars to transfer from school to school. We're going to the highest bidder. I kind of like that. I like that rule because it takes the power away from the NCAA mainly. I don't really want to say it takes the power away from the college. I want to say it takes the power away from the NCAA because these kids are like, you know, I'll just leave school. I'll just leave school and wait around and train until I can be eligible to go pro because this guy just gave me $15 million. I don't even want to go to school. I don't even want to go to school right now. I don't want to play football. I don't want to ball. I want to change my family's life with the money that football brings me, not worrying about a college degree. Now, I'm not saying I'm against college. I'm not saying I'm against college. I feel like everybody should have some level of education. I'm more of a trade school guy. Go and learn a trade. Go and learn a skill and put that skill to work. And then if you want to go back and get your degree later, do all the math, science, English, all that stuff, you know, you're making money with your trade, and then you can go back to school whenever you want to go back. I don't like the fact that sports is tying into somebody's education. Because I'm not an athlete, but I got up and went to school when I needed to go to school to learn how to do what I'm doing right now, talk on this radio show. I actually went to school and got my radio television film certification, and I got my broadcast news certification as well. I know how to run a news studio. I know how to put on news broadcast. I can put a news broadcast up on air. I've also mixed on air for a concert at San Diego City College. I've mixed on air. I've done a mix on air for a live concert and got a compliment for my mix. I've done lighting for a concert as well. I learned a lot going to City College, getting the trade of radio, television, film, and news broadcast. That's why I'm skilled at doing what I'm doing today, sitting here talking to you. You know, I've done voiceovers and all this stuff. But the point I'm making is that I feel like college sports shouldn't be. I feel like these kids should just be, it should be some kind of minor league, and we got two of them, the USFL and the XFL. Let those kids play down there. Let them make some money. Let them play down there for a couple of years and then bring them up to the NFL like they do in baseball. Have your minor league systems, let these college kids play in their minor league systems and everything like that, and then bring them up. So, you know, I feel like that's the way college sports should go. But going back to the initial thought was with Jim Harbaugh is that this man got to go out here and do all this recruiting. He got to now face the challenge of kids signing on with different NIL deals and everything like that. So he might have a kid one year, and then that kid might say, okay, well, I don't want to play in Michigan no more. Ohio State is paying me $5 million to come play for them. Stuff like that. Or Miami is paying me $10 million to come down there and play for them. It's all about how much the alumni want to pay a kid to come and make their alma mater a better football team. Now you got Jim Harbaugh. He's a college coach playing a pro game, a college coach playing by pro athlete rules. I don't blame him for talking to the Denver Broncos because if I'm a college coach and it come down to my players playing for me for the highest amount of money, I might well be coaching back in the NFL. So I understand why he's talking to these different professional sports teams like the Denver Broncos, and he probably is going to wind up taking that Denver Bronco job because they offered I think they're offering a pretty penny to to bring a good coach like Sean Payton or Jim Harbaugh in there to turn that team around, to work with Russell Wilson to turn that team around. So yeah, I'm gonna get up into to some NCAA women's basketball scores because I promised to read those off. Let me get off into that. See if I can make that happen right now. Number one, South Carolina defeated Alabama 65-52. Number one, South Carolina, 21-0. They defeated Alabama 65-52. So South Carolina with Dawn Staley, her team is still number one. Then we got number two, Ohio State, lost to Purdue 73-65. Number two, Ohio State fell to Purdue. The Boilermakers won against Ohio State 73-65. And UConn, number five, UConn defeated number 21, Villanova. Number five, UConn defeated number 21, Villanova, 63-58. This is in women's NCAA top 25 action. Indiana, number six, Indiana defeated Rutgers, 91-68. Number six, Indiana defeated Rutgers, 91-68. Then we got a battle of number eight, number nine, Pac-12 action. Utah, number nine, defeats number eight, UCLA. Utah, number nine, defeats number eight, UCLA, 71-69. Utah, 71, UCLA, 69. Then we got in ACC action, we got number 24, Florida, defeats Duke. Number 24, Florida, defeats number 16, Duke, 70-57. Florida State over Duke, 70-57. What else we got here? We got Washington State defeats Arizona. Washington State 70, number 19 Arizona 59. Washington State defeats Arizona 70-59. We got USC 71 over number 25 Colorado 54. USC 71 over number 25 Colorado 54. We got number 7 Notre Dame and number 20, North Carolina State defeats number 7, Notre Dame, 69-65. Number 20, North Carolina State defeats number 7, Notre Dame, 69-75. We have number 13, Michigan, 77, defeats Minnesota, 41. That was a blowout. Number 13, Michigan over Minnesota, 77-41. That was a blowout, people. Who was the top performer in that game? Michigan, Brown had 20 points. Brown had 20 points for Michigan in their win. Number 13, Michigan, 77, Minnesota, 41. Total domination by the Michigan women. We're still talking about NCAA women's action, people, from Sunday. And we have, who we got here? We got Stanford. Number 3, Stanford, 62 over Oregon, 54. Number 3, Stanford, 62 over Oregon, 54. We got number 15, North Carolina over Clemson, 69-58. Number 15, North Carolina over Clemson, 69-58. We got number 12, Virginia Tech over Virginia, 72-60. Number 12, Virginia Tech, 72, Virginia, 60. We got Michigan State fell to number 22, Illinois, 86-76. Number 22, Illinois, 86. Michigan State, 76. What else we got? And that's the last of my women's scores. I believe that was going to be from Sunday, from yesterday. So one more thing I need to do. I need to get off into my NHL scores and breaking news. We did share that legend, Bobby Hull, left wing. Bobby Hull passed away today at 84 years of age, if I'm correct. So keep the Hull family in your prayers. And may his soul rest in peace. National Hockey League legend Bobby Hull dies at 84. So I think they said on the monitor he's a 12-time All-Star, something like that. So, we'll keep listening out for more information across the monitor on that. But NHL scores from Sunday. The Bruins lost to the Hurricanes 4-1. Hurricanes 4, Bruins 1. And also yesterday's action in hockey, Maple Leafs 5, Capitals 1. Maple Leafs 5, Capitals 1. Let's see what happened on Saturday with NHL action. The All-Star game is coming up too. in Florida. The All-Star game is coming up. Then they got the Winter Classic where they play the game outside. It's coming up as well, where they're going to be playing that at, I believe, Yankee Stadium, I think. Then we got – so we got in more scores from Saturday for NHL. We got we're going to have the Avalanche 4, Blues 2 in NHL action. Avalanche 4, Blues 2 from Saturday NHL action. We had the Florida Panthers 4, Bruins 3. Florida Panthers 4, Bruins 3 in NHL action. Then we have the Senators 5, Canadiens 0. Senators 5, Canadiens 0 from action from Saturday, trying to get some more scores because I didn't have that many from yesterday. So I want to make sure I didn't leave anybody out over the weekend. We got the Sharks 6, Penguins 4. Sharks 6, Penguins 4 in NHL action. We got the Lightning 5 and the Kings 2. Lightning's 5, Kings 2. Lightning is 32-15 currently, 24-1 at home. So it looked like we got Perry, right wing Perry, had one goal in that game. Colton had one goal, and Perbix had no goals for Perbix, but 3 assists. So Lightning, which is currently 32-15-1 in NHL action, won the game 5-2 over the LA Kings. And then we got the Philadelphia Flyers 4 and the Jets 0. Philly Flyers 4, Jets 0. And we got Las Vegas Golden Knights lost to the Islanders 2-1. Islanders over the Knights 2-1. And we got the Wild, Minnesota Wild over the Sabres 3-2. Wild over the Sabres 3-2. And the Oilers 7-3 over the Blackhawks. Oilers 7, Blackhawks 3. That was a beatdown. 4 goals. That's a lot in hockey. And we had the Kraken 3-1 over the Blue Jackets. Kraken 3, Blue Jackets 1. Kraken defeat the Blue Jackets 3-1. And lastly, we have the Anaheim Ducks 2 and the Coyotes 1. Anaheim Ducks over the Coyotes 2-1. So that's all we got for NHL action. Going back to my NFL Championship Sunday action, we had NHL Championship Sunday action. We had the Eagles 31-49-7. Eagles 31-49-7, and we had the Kansas City Chiefs on a last-minute field goal, defeated the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20 on a questionable penalty call, which put the Kansas City Chiefs in field goal range. So Chiefs 23, Bengals 20. Pro Bowl coverage is going to be starting February 1st through the 7th. Pro Bowl coverage February 1st through the 7th. Super Bowl coverage February 8th through the 14th. Super Bowl will be on February 14th. So that's going to be featuring the Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Like I said, there was a questionable call this weekend that put the Kansas City Chiefs in field goal range to win at the last minute over the Cincinnati Bengals. But anyway, I got somebody in queue here. Somebody calling in queue. 310 when I come to you. Area code 310 when I come to you. Just announce your first initial, last initial. First initial, last initial, and the state that you're calling from. Go ahead. Good morning. Good morning. Area code 310. Go ahead. Area code 310. Go ahead. Can you hear me? I'm coming to you. 310. Area code 310. You're on the air. Last 4, 0437. Go ahead. Okay. I see your hand in queue. Somebody's calling in to the show at area code 310. If you have area code 310 and your last 4 of your numbers, 0437, 0437, I'm going to try to come back to you. You got your hand raised up in queue. Good morning. Welcome to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Go ahead. Can you hear me? Okay, maybe you just made a mistake and put yourself in queue. But anyway, we'll those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and this is your host, Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Also a questionable call was in basketball this weekend, questionable call. The, the L.A. Lakers, they lost, in overtime to the Boston Celtics. The L.A. Lakers lost in overtime to the Boston Celtics on a ticky-tack foul call that didn't get called on Jason Tatum in regards to LeBron James. LeBron James was very irate on the basketball court, kind of uncontrollable, unconsolable, because they wound up losing in overtime. Lakers have lost a couple games like this in overtime, a couple tight games in overtime, and they haven't, they've come up short. They haven't won these games, in overtime or late in the game, and some of these calls are questionable. That's what LeBron James is arguing, that some of these calls are kind of like, questionable calls and everything like that, and so like I said, Saturday night primetime game, they lost in overtime. Jaylen Brown kind of took over the game in overtime, but by that time, I'm quite sure that the Los Angeles Lakers, they were just like, they just had enough. They had all these bad calls from the referee. They just probably just had enough. They just didn't have the will to pull it off in overtime. And Patrick Beverley got teed up because he wound up taking a camera out the stands from somebody, took the camera and played it back on the video camera, saying that, hey, look, telling the referee, look at the play. Look at the call. Look at the foul. Why didn't y'all call it? They teched him up for bringing evidence that they made a bad call, so they teched Patrick Beverley up for that. It was a crazy night. The Brooklyn Nets also defeated the New York Knicks in NBA action as well. Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving had a great game, and the Nets defeated the Knicks as well. I think they played that game in Brooklyn. Ben Simmons, to me, played a good game. I'm tired of hearing people on the monitor keep on ragging Ben Simmons, saying that, oh, well, man, he needs to do more. He needs to do more. Ben Simmons is playing fine to me, far as I'm concerned. He's out there, he's playing, he's earning his paycheck. Anyway, before I get up out of here, we got about 8 minutes left in the show. Whoever that was screaming in from area code 310, thanks for streaming in to the radio show. Maybe next time we can get you on air, but I tried to come to you. Anyway, if you're a street free agent and you're looking to pursue your football career in a league like the USFL or the XFL, spring high level football, the United States Football League, which I believe is kicking off in April, and the XFL, I believe, is kicking off sometime after the Super Bowl. In February. If you're looking to take the steps necessary to play for those leagues, I can start you out in my system called the Prove It system, where basically if you're a current 2022 street free agent, meaning that your street free agency started last year and you're still looking for an opportunity, or if you just played your last college game of eligibility this season and this past season, and you're currently a NFL 2023 camp hopeful, I can put you in my system to help you get your film and resume on certain desks to put you in situations like the Indoor Football League to get film. The Indoor Football League is partnered with the XFL as their minor league football system. I can help get your film on some coaches' desks to get you an opportunity to play in the Indoor Football League to get a look by the XFL. At the same time, it's other leagues that can put you in, like Champions Indoor Football League, Fan Control Football, and the National Arena League, to also get film to work toward an IFL opportunity, or I can still take that film and then still send it out to some different contacts that I have now and that I will get down the line. I can still send your stuff out to some USFL contacts and some XFL contacts with film from the National Arena League, film from Fan Control Football League, film from the Indoor Football League, as I previously stated, and also film from the Champions Indoor Football League. And it's a lot of other pro developmental football levels that aren't that high level, but film is film to me. Whether you play 11 man semi pro outside 12 man semi pro, I can take that film and shop it out. I can take as well. So anytime you can play pro football somewhere, playing football is never a bad thing. So if you play semi-pro football, I can take that film and shop it out and get you an opportunity in the indoor arena league formats to help move you up to the USFL or XFL. But I currently am only working with guys that are NFL 2022 camp hopefuls. I'm sorry, NFL 2022 street free agents, meaning like when you graduated last year, you didn't get your NFL opportunity. And kids that just played their last game this past season that are going to be NFL 2023 camp hopefuls. And the reason why I say camp hopefuls is because I specialize in helping kids from the NAIA, NCAA Division III, NCAA Division II, and HBCU, FCS Division I schools, meaning I help kids that played at marginalized programs. I help them get exposure by taking their film and resume and putting it on the right desk for them to have a professional football opportunity at the most immediate level that they qualify for. To work with me, my company is Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service in San Diego, California. You can find out more information on me on Twitter at Ferran Sports, at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, capital S-P-O-R-T-S, all together at Ferran Sports on Twitter. You can scroll down my timeline, look at my videos by clicking on the media tab. I got a lot of videos telling you what I do and how I can help you. Currently, my price for services to take your film and resume and put it on the right desk for your most immediate pro opportunity is going to be $2,400, $1,200 down and $1,200 broken down over 12 payments, $100 a month over 12 months. So you have to put down $1,200 initially, and then it's going to be $1,200 over a period of, it's going to be $1,200 broken down into $100 payments over a period of 12 months. So to work with me is $2,400 total, again, $1,200 down, and you can pay that by Cash App, $FerranOne on Cash App, the dollar sign symbol, my last name, Ferran, capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, and the number one, or you can request a PayPal code. With that being said, I want to remind everybody to be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Remember, there is only one race. That's the human race. Pray for peace around the world. This war in Ukraine doesn't seem to be ending, and they're sending more weapons over there, sending tanks, sending missiles over there for the Ukrainian people to defend themselves against this Russian invasion. So just please pray for peace around the world that this war ends. And everybody out there, make sure, because it's still flu season, get your flu shots. They got all this RSV stuff going around affecting the children, so make sure you get your flu shots. Make sure you keep your mask on in crowded places. Keep some hand sanitizer on you at all times, or at least handy somewhere, so you can frequently sanitize your hands, because, you know, we had that monkeypox thing going around as well. I don't know the status on that, but keep some hand sanitizer on you at all times. All right, with that being said, again, street free agents, if you'd like to know more about working with me or getting on this platform, it is $100 to get on this platform and do an interview and to tell your story and stuff like that, so you can have this recording and send it out to different coaches and everything that where someone might want to know about you. So it's $100 to come on to the show and do an interview. And if you want to work with me, with my company, Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service, you can find out more information about me at Ferran Sports. I'm currently charging $2,400 to use my services. That's $1,200 down to start, and $1,200 broken down into $100 payments over a period of 12 months. With that being said, we'll be back tomorrow. I want everybody to stay safe out there and have a great day. And remember, stay light. Be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. This has been Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Set black, fade off.